Welcome to TechNori Live. We're back in studio at WGN talking with some of Chicago's top entrepreneurs, founders, and innovators. For those of you who haven't heard this show before or don't know what TechNori is, this is a perfect month to get acquainted with us. One, the show is about startups, obviously. And two, we are hosting our main event on January 31st, which is Tuesday of next week at 6 p.m. through 8:30 p.m. at Chase Auditorium. What it is, we feature an incredible keynote this month that is the founder of Women 2.0. We also feature five incredible startup companies. They have 5 minutes to tell the world who they are and what they need from us in order to be able to make it in this crazy, crazy world of startups. And what we have done in the last, 6 years since 2010, well, we featured over 300 companies and they've gone on to raise $260+ million in venture funding. Cole Mather, who is, according to Ronnie Sage, a previous guest, is a million-dollar man when it comes to going viral and creating a buzz.
Ronnie's just a nice guy.
Ronnie's just a nice guy. I have a feeling, based on reading some of your articles, that Ronnie is not lying. I think you get a ton of followership.
I've been fortunate, yeah. I publish everything under the name Nicholas Cole. Nicholas is my real name. Cole is my nickname. Everybody calls me Cole.
Where did you get Cole from?
My parents thought it was a cool name.
Oh, it's like it's actually part of your birth certificate? Or
No, on my birth certificate it says Nicholas, but my whole life everybody's called me Cole. So I thought it'd be cool. You know, like writers got to have a cool like
pen name. It's a great
pen
name.
So I was like, Nicholas Cole, I think that'd be cool.
I think Cole Mather's a great name. You should run an advertising agency. That might actually already be.
Cole Mathers.
Well, you got the Mather, Ogilvy and Mather,
Ogilvy
right?
Mather,
so
I know,
you already got that. But, you know, maybe we'll do like the Nicholas Cole agency, you know?
I mean, so Nicholas Cole's the pen name. I introduced you with the wrong thing. We sat here and discussed this for like 6 or 7 minutes. Like, how do we introduce this guy? I don't even know. Why don't we get right to the point with it, though? I mean, you are a writer. I'm not supposed to say you're a ghostwriter, but you're a ghostwriter for some people, too.
I am a ghostwriter, too,
You write for, name some of the publications. It's Forbes, Inc., Entrepreneur, all these places.
Yeah, so I started on a website called Quora, which the best way to describe it is it's what Yahoo Answers could have been.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone can ask a question. Anyone can answer. And what I really saw there was thought leaders, people that really were doing what you were asking, answering those questions. So if someone said, what's it like to be an entrepreneur, and a serial entrepreneur responds, that's really valuable, right? Versus what you would get on Yahoo, which is like something.
Do you
want to
meet me in a park for
right,
sex?
Exactly.
That's what you would get on Yahoo.
Exactly. So I was really interested in that. And what I found, I graduated with a degree in creative writing, right? And so what I saw was that the best answers were written really creatively. And it's this blend between entertainment and knowledge. Someone asks a question, you entertain them, but you're also answering what they're looking for.
So you mean instead of doing what I'm doing, I could have, well, this is diminishing. I don't mean to diminish your work because I know you actually do a lot with this. I could have gone to Quora and like someone writes a question. I just like Google like how to be an entrepreneur and just write it really nicely in a better way.
If you could write well, yeah.
Well, that's the problem. Therein lies the problem.
And that's why people hire me, you know? Oh. So Quora is what led to me having a daily column in Inc. Writing for Inc. magazine then has led to, you know, me contributing to Forbes, Huffington Post, Entrepreneur, all the major publications really. And then that's kind of what introduced me to the whole landscape. Right, is how do you create something once and then it gets disseminated everywhere?
Yeah, and that's the secret. I think that there are definitely elements I feel that have to be a part of it in order to really have that kind of exposure and dissemination that goes to millions. Like, you don't see many of them unless there's like a couple of key, you know, people like breaking news with a big name or something. You don't see things go viral without a few major pieces. What do you think are the main, you know, two or three elements to that piece that have to be there in order for it to be successful?
So I'm actually about to launch an online course teaching this.
Well, then you better not give all the secrets.
But that's kind of my motto is I give away 90%. I give away as much as possible. And all I really ask is that people support the last 10%. If you want it in a convenient spot in an online course, it's there for you.
Yep.
But I share and I want to teach everybody how I've done. I'm 26 years old.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 4 years out of college. Like, I shouldn't have been able to get more PR for myself than any other PR agency in the country, right? So I would say the first thing is you have to know what you're talking about. You know, I don't write about things that I'm not really confident I know what I'm talking about. And even if it's something I'm interested in, I really do my research and pick people's brains and make sure that I'm knowledgeable before I put myself out there
Yep.
and say, come to me, right?
It's kind of important because if you do it poorly one time, that's sort of the end of it for you.
Completely. And I look at a lot of the other people that are trying to do what I've done, and it's, you know, regurgitating the same thing that everybody else says. And that's not thought leadership. Yeah. It's like anybody can Google it and then say, you know, the number one thing you need to remember is to work hard. It's like, obviously.
George right. Carlin said hard work is for people short on talent.
Oh, I love George.
That's been a model of mine for quite a while.
Yeah.
That's why I don't work very hard. Wait a minute, but I'm not very talented, so then I gotta
there's probably something.
It's a vicious cycle.
So I'd say that's the first one. Like, you really have to know. You have to know
your stuff. Yeah.
The second thing is you have to be very focused. Because with writing, and you gotta keep in mind, I think I average with the number of articles that I write in a week span, I think I probably crank out an entire book every 2 weeks by pure volume. So I write a lot. And even just having a daily column in Ink, people are like, you write daily? How can you do that? And I can't even tell them that past that, I write another five, six, seven articles a day. So I'm writing a lot. And what I've learned through all that is it's the athlete in me, right? Yeah. Like, I don't play sports anymore, so I just apply that same work ethic. And
that's a common statement by people who've sat in that chair.
Yeah, absolutely.
Many people say, like, they lost that edge. They went to school. They finished up. It was like, what am I – like, I can't – and then they caught on to something, in your case, writing, in my case, shows and things
right,
like this, where you take this sort of obsession about your craft. It's you practice just like you did sports, and then you're just obsessed with it.
Right. So that through that practice is you learn the value of focus. You know, like when I write an article, I pick one thing and I stick to that one thing. And people that struggle to make their writing resonate with people is they try and do too much at once. They take too many tangents. They go all over the place. It's like, it's an 800 word article.
Like this show.
Like, like just pick a focus and stick to it, you know? And so that's what makes something quote unquote go viral. And I don't like saying it that way, but I mean, I accumulate millions and millions of views on my stuff. So that's the only way that I can explain it.
And obviously you do some ghostwriting stuff as well, not some, a lot. How do you make money doing this? Like, how, other than being paid to write, how do you, is it ads? Does Ink pay you? Is it clicks? Like, how could I make money doing this?
It's an interesting question. So first of all, I get paid a lot to write.
I'm
just
sure.
Just as the craft. Second is I spent 4 years working at an advertising agency here in Chicago.
Ogilvy Mather?
No, I worked at Idea Booth, which is 10 times better than Ogilvy and Mather. And I was mentored by the creative director there. His name's Ron Gabori. And he was really the one that kind of opened my eyes to the advertising landscape and how all the different ways that you can make money.
Yep.
And I've really seen this huge shift where if your primary source of income is ads, you're doing something wrong.
Yep.
Right? Because you're annoying people. They don't want to see that. It's not helpful. So aside from getting paid to write, Ink does pay me per page view, which, again, the athlete
goes
in me,
right.
It incentivizes me. I want to write good stuff because I get paid based on how many page views I bring in. And then it's kind of up to me how else I want to create revenue for myself. Like, one would be these online courses teaching people. I do a lot of consulting. So either working with serial entrepreneurs or C-suite executives, they all want to be thought leaders, right? So how do they do that? And if I'm not writing for them, I'm telling them how to write or I'm telling them where to write.
Boy, it's a good thing we don't put any ads on all of our stuff at technori.com, huh?
I mean, don't get me wrong, there's ways to do it.
No, of course. And I wasn't even taking a shot. I agree with you 100%, which is, we can get into more of a fun conversation. I mean, not that this isn't fun. It's very informative. But going back and forth a little bit, I totally agree with you. And all, just full disclosure, like, our group of here, they're all Medill journalism grads. That's their whole shtick. Everyone's into, they're more multimedia than writing, and you're more writing than any of us by far. But from a media standpoint, I could not agree more that the way of advertising, traditional advertising, I mean, unless you have insane volume, I don't know how you're going to make
it. It just
meet.
Shouldn't be your primary.
Yeah. And even that, like, unless you have insane volume, again, if it's not your primary, it really shouldn't even be there. Unless it's like, you just absolutely have to use it because, and I understand, like, we have ads on our WGN page, we have ads, but they're not ads that are like, it's not the kind of ads that pop up and piss you off.
Right.
They're this show is brought to you by so-and-so. Like, without Jones Lang LaSalle, we don't pay the bills to keep the lights on to be able to do this. Thank you.
Right.
And they're there. It's not Jones Lang LaSalle ping, ping, ping in your face or Hired or any of these other ones that we work with. It's, here's the content. Enjoy it. Share it. None of our ads are going to go with you. you're going to see a couple ads when you go to the main page to like initiate. And then after that, we try to keep it clean mm-hmm. because the readers are, they look and sound just like you. And they're going to sit there and go, I'm not looking to read a billboard. I want the content I want. And if you're not going to give it to me, then I'll get it somewhere else. Even if it's somebody else's regurgitation of my story on Facebook, they'll take it there because there's 100%. No
way. Yep. And like you said, there's a tasteful way to do it. I'm at a point now where I can pick and choose who I write for.
Yep.
And I'll tell you the first thing, if I go to your site, especially on my phone, right? I'm on my phone 10 times more than I am my laptop.
Yep.
So if I go on my phone and I can't even get to your article because I'm so swamped by banner ads, I'll never write for your site.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I think people just need to start realizing that there's a tasteful way. I'm all for partnerships.
Yep.
But come on, you know,
what do you think reader. Is the, what do you think is that? Like, I have my opinion on this. So I would love to know yours. What do you think is that perfect combination of a tasteful advertising experience, meaning, sort of the, I don't want to say pay to play, but like having somebody come in to, you know, that's, it's part of the content, like you're winding the advertisement into the content. How do you do it?
So
in, you know, in a good way.
Perfect example. So, me and my buddy, Drew Reggie, he's kind of my partner in all this. And we are about to go to Europe in February and we're going to shoot a whole writing course over there as well. And for us, it would be awesome if we could partner up with, say, a camera company, someone that goes, we'll sponsor you as you shoot this. We're supplying the gear. You're creating really great content. That's a great partnership,
yep.
right? So those are the things that I'm always looking for. And because I have that experience in the advertising world, I understand what the brand wants. I understand what the consumer is, what their threshold for tolerance is. And I understand what I want out of it.
Does my model make more sense to you guys now? I'm sort of joking, but like we,
you
we're
know
doing
what I mean?
The exact same
yeah.
thing where our partnerships are, you know, we do our Technori stories as at breathers and things like that, where we know that that's, they would love to have entrepreneurs and people like us in there using their space.
Mm-hmm.
It shows off the space in the backdrop or in the background, but it's not like, hey, come here and use this or else.
Right. And that's, I think that is such a huge shift mentality wise too, because you can get so much farther and do such better work when you understand what all parties want.
Yep.
Because then you're not selling. It doesn't feel like spammy yeah. or scammy, right? It's like, I know what you want. I know what the consumer wants. I know what the reader wants. I know what I want. Let's find a win-win-win-win for everybody.
Yep. Very cool. It really is. I mean, I feel like that is, and it's a work in progress, because for those that don't have millions of views and they don't have, you know, some, like, I don't want to say like side income, because it really isn't side income. It's your whole, your empire, if you
right.
will. But for those that cannot support themselves with this yet because they're just not there yet as far as the level of fame or notoriety, it's tough to do that, because to get the sponsors, they got to know you've got an audience that has value to me. And so the advertising model is always easy for people, to general click ad CPM model, because it's like, well, I plug in somewhere where we start off with 5 clicks and then 20 and then 1,000, 100, and then I can start getting a little bit of money and then reinvest it and keep kind of piling on.
Right.
But if you want to go to the sponsorship model, you need to like farm an audience of that has value first before you can even reach out to them, unless you've got a proven track record, so to speak.
Oh, and don't get me wrong. I mean, this is not something that you decide yeah. one day to set out and then it all works out. I mean, this is the result of over 4 years of me writing for free every single day.
That's the key word there, though, because the part that a lot of the guys and girls miss that I speak to, and I've spoken to Northwestern now 3 or 4 times about this. If you like you were saying, if you don't get to just start that way, but you have to, and you got to do it for free, because if you start with the way of click ads and you start the way of this sort of like hodgepodge of stuff,
you've ruined it before you start,
and it doesn't even everything is moot at that point. So you literally have to write until your fingers fall off for free
mm-hmm.
and produce these shows, and we produce tons of shows. These guys are, you know, on the shoestring of stringiest budgets, trying to do all these videos, because we know that we don't want to jam and ruin what we've got. And so we've got to create all this free material so that people are like, wow, I really like it. I really appreciate the effort. And then we can get our sponsors who say, listen, we can find a better way to extract the value.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to be willing to work your ass off up front for nothing, or you're going to ruin it. And it was just, you never.
So here's a perfect example. So Quora, I've written over 500 answers on that site. And by an answer, I mean a full article.
I looked
right?
up some of your answers. So
yeah.
they're quite, it's
substantial.
You have to scroll.
Okay, so the number one comment that I get in an email from people, because people will read my stuff and then email me, is, I cannot believe how much you give away for free. there are a lot of people that would see that and go, why aren't you charging for it, right? First of all, my mentality is I got to write every day anyway. I want to become a better writer anyway. So I'm going to treat Quora like practice. The only difference is that in practice, I build an audience in the process. So it is a win-win for me, right? Second is a lot of people don't even know that through Quora, there's all these partnerships with all the big publications. So every week or two, I'll get a notification that says your answer here on Quora just got republished by Forbes. It just got republished by Huffington Post. Okay, great. So now I'm getting free PR for myself, right? But then third is you take that work ethic and you compound that over 4 years. And that's where it looks like an overnight thing, right? You write for free. And then all of a sudden it's like, I have to turn people down because I'm already so over flooded with writing.
And we're by no means to where you are as far as the numbers that you're click numbers and stuff you're getting in ink. But like I look at this show and the numbers we do in the show, which is pretty good. And obviously the traffic on Technori is I would say pretty good. It would look, we've only been doing this show for like 6 months or 5 months or something like that. And people are like, oh my God, this show's been around for whatever. All the numbers are great and the advertisers like it and everyone's calling. And what they don't realize is that I started the original version of the show over 2.5 years ago. And I ran the show under a completely different title for over a year to like sort of.
It takes time.
Grow slowly. And I like, honest to God, I took out a credit card. I'm not kidding. Like to get this thing off the ground, I just was like, I asked a couple of people and said, hey, do you want to do, you know, would you invest? And they were like, yeah, you know, 50-50. I'm like, 50-50, I do all the work and you sit back? F that.
Right.
Can I borrow money? No. My mom was happy, you know, nice enough to give me, you know, like 10 grand to like kind of get going, which was really helpful. But then you find that you piss through that real quick. So I was like, all right, I don't really have no more choices and I'm not going to ask anyone for money. So I just went out and took a credit card and threw like 50K on it to get all of the things off the ground to get this rolling. And here we are now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you've got to invest in yourself and work your butt off to be able to get this done. And I guess what I love hearing from you is that one, that it can pay off, but two, that it's a really, it's not random.
It's absolutely not random.
These guys are dying over here. What am I missing?
Oh, I clicked something on my screen and it's nothing. It's nothing at all.
Clickbait.
The filter made his face all mushy.
Like, oh no, the webcam.
I'm glad that I'm entertaining you. Holy. Jesus.
You know what? And by the way, too, I love to get tactical with it. Like, I really love just, like I said, I'll give it all away for free.
I say that on date night.
That used to be my motto.
That's my one letter. I want to get tactical with it.
So what I would do for you, like something that I think would work really well, after you go through a show, and you're interviewing great people, right? So take,
Presumably,
right? So take those segments and then break them out into written pieces where it's like this person, three things about entrepreneurship that I just learned from Jeremiah, right?
Yep.
Take that and go put it on Medium. Go put it on LinkedIn because you're giving people value, but you're also directing back to your show. And that you should always find things that it's not just like a one-way street. It's how can I compound my success?
And that's been the thing. I have a Microsoft Note, the worst app of all time, by the way. Literally just pages and pages and pages and pages of notes. I've interviewed over, at this point, Bob Coyne is an account manager at WGN, is sitting in there, he can tell me right now. It's like 300 people have been on this show.
Right.
Like, whether it's Secondary Live or Tomorrow's Business Day, it's been a lot.
Yeah.
And we're going to go back and interview a bunch of them again so I can kind of redo this. But I've made notes, whether mental or on paper, from some of Chicago's top entrepreneurs, and I could share it, but I just didn't because I never had time to, like, get to it.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously,
Got it all there. Basically, and I kind of took this from Gary Vaynerchuk, which is
Gary V.
You've got your meat content, which for you would be the show.
Yep.
And then from there, you can break it out into articles, quote graphics, things that you can disseminate that are smaller pieces. And it should always be directing back to that primary content. You know, what do you really want to get out of it?
Yep.
And it builds you as a thought leader. And then with all those interviews, I mean, that's a book. That's two books. Well, that's three books.
That.
You know what I mean?
So we talked about that.
It's there. And that's why a big part of when I do consulting with people, it's not like, it's not a strategy to say, well, you should be on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. Like, that's not a strategy. The strategy is how much time do you actually have in your day that you realistically can work with, and what's going to get you the biggest ROI for that amount of time.
Yep. Well, I definitely could use more time, but I could certainly use parts of my time more effectively. This has been awesome. There's probably a million places you can plug to go check stuff out. Where should people go find Nicholas Cole Writing?
www.nicholascole.com.
Get out of here.
Yeah,
you own your own name's domain?
Mm-hmm. Obviously.
Nice. I'm just messing
But yeah, and then all my social, NicholasCole77. So
any recent articles you just pushed out?
Every day. Every Sunday, what I do is a recap of all the Ink columns I wrote, all the Quora answers I wrote, any features that I had. You can find all that on my site.
Awesome.
I pump out a lot.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, great chatting.
Great. You can stream this episode and more at technori.com. You can stay up to date with our Technori news feed and other tech bites, such as stories we just referenced, by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori, or follow me at Katoon. And do please go to technori.com/events and get your tickets now for the January 31st Tuesday next week showcase at Chase Auditorium. We've got incredible keynotes, incredible startups. We've already sold over 300 tickets, so if you haven't gotten yours, you better get on it now. Boom. That's a wrap.